It's called Bountiful. Bountiful. Doesn't Rebecca and Jade live in the town of Bountiful? Okay, get them the CD. Right. Now, it'd be interesting if they take this message, apply faith, and wow, the whole town. Okay, back up. So we're doing a message called Bountiful. It's about our God's big. He's abundant. He's bountiful. Because, you know, sometimes I just have to use a new word, because if I say our God is big, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I pull out new words that mean the same thing. So everybody say, God is bountiful. Listen, we have a big God that's big, he's bountiful, and he wants to work through your life, this big bountiful God. The big bountiful God wants to work through your life. Isn't that wonderful? Okay, now, it's real interesting though. Every Christian should live a bountiful life. Because Jesus said in John 10:10, this is what Jesus said, John 10:10, he said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and life overflowing. So Jesus said bountiful. Jesus said that every Christian should have a full, overflowing, abundant, bountiful life. All right? So that's what Jesus said. Write that down. Jesus said bountiful life, all right? Now, and most people, matter of fact, probably nobody has a problem believing that God is big and bountiful and abundant. But people don't have a problem with God, right? They believe, oh yeah, God's big, right? Matter of fact, some of the names, or one of the names that you'll read about in the Old Testament describing God is called El Shaddai. Anybody hear that before? And it's called, the Hebrew literal means the many-breasted one, simply meaning God's more than enough. Everybody say more than enough. So there's a name of God that describes who God is, more than enough. And you know the way I like to think? He's too much. God is too much. My God is too much. Your God is too much. Your God is bountiful and he's too much. All right, so that's describing our God. He's too much. And listen, he's too much. Think about it. When he created the universe, he created an abundant earth and the stars. He's so too much. There's so many stars they can't even name them. That's bountiful. That's abundant. That's too much, don't you think? They're still finding bugs that they haven't even named. I was watching some nature stuff. So I was like, wah. Okay, but that's bountiful God, abundant God. There's so much bugs, right? All right, that's our God. And listen, our God is too much. He's an overflowing God. He's an abundant God. He's a big God. That's our God. So everybody say, my God is big. My God is abundant. My God is bountiful. Besides, you need a new word in your vocabulary, bountiful. All right, bountiful. All righty. Now, the question is, this is my question that I'm going to toss out. And I tell you what, it just stuck in my brain all week. But is our abundant, bountiful God only dealing for God? I mean, bountiful, is that just God? Or does God have bountiful abundance for your everyday life in every area of your life? Come on. Our God is big. He's too much. Oh, God's too big. God's too much. So does our big, abundant, bountiful God, does this apply to your life every day? Abundant, bountiful, every day. Abundant, bountiful, I'm going to get you, in every area of your life. Good, I've got some shouters that love and believe this, okay? Yes. But you guys may not know it or convinced of it, because I can tell you didn't say yes, yay, okay. So, the real interesting thing about abundant God, bountiful God, is there's a lot of stuff that people believe that's not in the Bible, and it's not true. I'll give you a couple of them. I even hear Christians, not this church, I know you guys already know this, but just, you know, for the sake of a conversation, and I wrote this down. Some Christians just say, well, listen, you know, it's not about money. It's not about money. Oh, yeah? What do we do for the rest of our life? We go out and make a... Yeah. So it doesn't matter about money. Yeah, right. Okay? How many of you are going to work tomorrow? Raise your hand. How many of you go to work tomorrow because either at the end of the week or by you get paid? How many of you, if you got a phone call tomorrow morning and says, hey, we're not paying you anymore, would get up at, Penny, where's she? Oh, she gets up real early. She's a nurse. They get up real early. Get up real early, shower, hop in your car, drive across town, and go to work tomorrow. How many of you would? Oh, girl. Well, you would because of, okay, your own business. All right. Can you just blow my thing? Thanks, Michael. Okay. Let me ask you this, moving on. How many of you that are married have ever had an argument about money? Don't point to your spouse. Because money matters. How many of you have ever struggled because of money? Yeah, because money matters, okay? But when you hear Christians say, oh, you know, it doesn't matter. God's not really interested in you being blessed financially, abundant and overflowing. You are dumb. Because it matters. It matters, right? All right? It does. It does matter. And listen, I have never met a good parent who didn't want more for their kids. I've never met a parent that didn't want their kid to have more financial stability than they had. Okay? I've never met a good parent that didn't want their kid's marriage to prosper. I've never met a good parent that didn't want their kids to be blessed, abundant, bountiful in every area. Have you? A good parent. Right. Okay. Now, interesting. I'm waiting for the day, and especially my kid calls me up around January 1st. Ma, I got a condo. I rented for you down in Florida from January to March. Facebook, oh, I got awesome kids because they're prospering. That's a good parent, right? Of course, I'd probably say, skiing, Colorado, whatever. Okay. Yep, something like that. So, my question for you is it God's will for you to live abundantly, bountifully in every area of your life? Yay! Pentecostals came out today, all right? Listen, we're going to go kill cows and eat barbecue today. Sacred cows, we're going to kill and we're going to eat them. Because they're folks that you know, because none of you believe this, right? But you know that have some sacred cows and they don't believe this. And you're looking at their life and you want to go, okay? So we're going to go kill some cows today and we're going to have barbecue. Open up to Psalm 112. 112. I'm reading out of the NIV. The guys are going to throw things up there, and you know, because I get lost. Really is for me some days. I just get going in the world. Okay. Psalm. Again, God is big, God is too much. God is bountiful. I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures that show you that. Psalm 112, starting 1 through 3. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commandments. His children will be mighty in the land. Each generation of the upright will be blessed, will be blessed, will be blessed. Oh my gosh. Did it say? Am I in the right place? Are you with me? You should be shouting. Okay. Wow. Okay, I lost my place. Where is it again? Hold on. Oh, yeah. Each generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth. Say wealth. And riches. Riches. Say riches. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Guys, kind of interesting. Psalms 112, 1 through 3, three things: wealth, riches, and righteousness. All of those are describing the blessing, bountiful, abundance, You should be excited, all right? Now listen, I know first and foremost, righteousness, my right standing with God is the blessing of all blessings, right? To have right standing with God through Jesus is how sweet it is, right? So that is, okay, foremost. There we go, one, foremost, first. That is the foremost. But look at the other two things. Wealth. Everybody say wealth. Riches. So you can have all three of them. What do they say? Don't throw the baby out the bathwater. Don't throw the rest out. Just, well, I'm only going for righteousness. Go ahead, give me your stuff. All right? So listen. Praise God. Okay. I'm going to do this. All right. Wealth, riches, and righteousness all describe the bountiful life that God has, that God is and God has. All right? Now, Proverbs 22. Go ahead. Proverbs 22. Take a deep breath, Dee. Proverbs 22. Here we go. Verse 4. I'm going to read this out of the King James, and then I have, thank you, light. Thank you. Proverbs 22, verse 4. For humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Everybody say, riches, honor, life. Okay, now the English Standard, I'm looking for a special word. It says the reward. If yours doesn't say that, write that in. The reward for humility and the fear of the Lord is riches, honor, and life. How many of you know, and Jim took the scripture, how many of you know that God is a rewarder? All right? What's that, Hebrews 6, right? Hebrews 6, but without faith it's impossible to believe God, for he who comes to God must believe, must believe, must believe, must believe, must believe, must believe he's a rewarder. So how many of you believe God's a rewarder? Yes, okay, all right? He's a rewarder. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek them. Listen, how many of you love your kids? How many of you love to bless them? How many of you like to reward them? Do you think you love your kids more than God? He is love. You just have enough love in you, but he is love. And he loves to bless his kids. He loves to reward them. All right, that's your God. I am painting a picture. Because, you know, unless you know who your God is, who your Savior is, and what it is in your life, it's just wah, 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 wah. So I'm going to get it into you. Who is your God? He's bountiful, abundant, and now he's a rewarder. You got to know that. Because there are days. It's just tough. But if you know that your God is a bountiful God, he's an abundant God, he's a too much God, and he's a rewarder God, you will walk and nothing's going to shake you. You'll walk strong, all right? I'm not going to have to come pick you up all the time, all right? Go pick up someone else. Amen. All right, side thought. Sorry. All right. All right, everybody say rewarder. Everybody say blessed. Everybody say bountiful. All right, today I want to talk about living a bountiful life. You know, I thought about giving you 3 points and taking notes, and I'm just all over, so you just have fun. Take notes. Get the CD, all right? Living a bountiful life is not being stingy. It's the opposite. Living a bountiful life is not being selfish. That's not a bountiful life. Listen, so we're going to look at the father of our faith, Abraham, all right? We're going to look at Abraham. You need an example? Let's look at Abraham. Turn over to Romans 4, Romans 4:12. Matter of fact, I'm just going to read it to you, my Cashman D squished version. Romans 4:12b. We are to walk in the footsteps of faith that our father Abraham had. We are to walk in the footsteps of faith that our father Abraham had. Okay, this winter, snow, loved it. But I'd have to go out my front door, make footsteps, go to the mailbox, get my mail, turn around, and follow the footsteps. Anybody do that? We didn't have much snow that you get lost or anything. Okay, so if you're tired of snow, have you ever walked the beach? 1 mile down, footsteps, footprints, and then you turn around and you follow your footprints, right? Okay, you like that one better? Okay? Good, 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 good. I know where you're moving. All right. We are called to walk in the footsteps, the footprints. We are called to follow the footsteps, the steps of our father Abraham, his faith. Okay? Is that real simple? Can you see the footsteps? What are you supposed to do? Who are you supposed to follow? Abraham, his faith. All right. Everybody say, I'm walking in those footsteps. I'm walking in the footsteps of faith that my father Abraham had, all right? Now, God, when he tells you to do things, he does give directions, you know? He'll say, okay, I want you to do this, and then he gives directions. So God has actually outlined the directions to these steps that we're supposed to follow, all right? And praise God, praise God. Praise God, praise God. Turn over to Galatians 3. Galatians 3, 13. You with me? Good, good. Hallelujah. If not, pinch the person next to you. I used to do this to Jesse. He'd start to do the slouch, slouch, head back. And then he thought he'd be cute, lean his head on my shoulder. I'd grab him right here, and then he'd sit up. Oh, yeah, that's another good one right there, Stephen, like that. Okay, so if they're slouching, just do it, all right, because you need this. Okay, Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hung on a tree. He redeemed us. Raise your hand if you're the us. In order that the blessings given to Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. You are a Gentile, in case you didn't know. Okay? So, you are a Gentile, in case you didn't know, except for maybe Dave. Right? Siegel, what are you?
I'm a Gentile Jew.
That's right. Just checking to see if you're awake, Dave. All right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Listen. Jesus redeemed you. He bought you. He paid for your crud. He redeemed you in order that the blessings of Abraham could come onto you. Okay, he redeemed you, that the blessings come on you, but guess what you have to do? Yeah, you have to do the receiving. They've been given, all right? And some people, they've been given, and they're over here going, all right? Jesus redeemed you from the curse that the blessings would come upon you. Praise God. Life is good. Life is good. Now, how do you do that? The same way Abraham did. Because we're supposed to follow the steps of Abraham, his faith. So how do you do that? The same way, the same steps Abraham took. The same steps that Abraham took, that's what you're supposed to follow. So, turn over, we're at Galatians 3, now verse 29. Verse 29. Galatians 3, verse 29. If you, raise your hand, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. How many of you are born again? Then you are an heir of the promise. If you're born again, it's talking to you. If you are born again, you belong to Christ, then you're also an heir of the promise. Hallelujah. All right, let me give you an example. Suppose you have a second or third removed cousin. I don't even know if that is. It just sounds so good when I tell a story. And he lives way out in North Dakota, and he's some old guy, and you just maybe heard about him, and he dies. And you go, oh, that's sad. Okay, he dies. But you get a phone call from his lawyers, and you come to find out he has $100,000,000. I don't know, I'm just putting numbers, all right? That was what his estate was worth. And you are now the heir of Uncle Willie, who you've never met, just heard about him, out in North Dakota, okay? And this the attorney, we love attorneys, the attorney calls you up and he says, listen, you need to fly out because there's some documents that you need to sign, and then you can receive the inheritance. Well, what are you thinking now in your brain? Hey, got the plan. That's right. You are thinking. You are moving schedules that are, you know, so, well, Tuesday's my grocery day. Yeah, right. You're going. Okay, that was a little dig. I'm so sorry. Jeez, okay. Praise God. Listen, you know what a godly Christian is doing? They're planning. Who can I bless? Not just me. That's the godly. That's the bountiful living life. All right? Think on that one. All righty? Now, let me ask you this. I've had this conversation. Every once in a while, I just have nothing to do, and we have silly conversations like, hey, do you know what the lottery's up to? And someone will say, yeah, it's up to blah, 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 and zero, zero, zeros. And they say, what would you do if you won the lottery? And we've had some fun, silly conversations. But you know what? I'm going to answer that. What would you do with a lot of money? What would you do with a lot of money? I'm answering it. Whatever you're doing with a little right now is what you'll do with a lot. Man. Whatever you're doing with a little, the little that you have is what you'll do with a lot. If you don't give to God your little, I will take you through our financial books here at YCF and tell you, you won't give a lot. Dave will. I don't do that. Okay. All right? So what would you do if you won the Uncle Willie's, what did I say, million, blah, 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 okay, or the lottery? Whatever you got now is what you'll do something with later. All right? But not us. That's another church, right? There's nobody down here. Okay? All right, let's get back to our steps. Ready? Father Abraham's. His blessings belong to you, right? And you have an inheritance, right? Don't ignore a great inheritance. You guys, it's been, I was reading a little statistic. It's been proven people who inherit usually blow it, go through it within a year. All right? Don't blow this. This is a lifetime of inheritance. This is an inheritance that's supposed to go in you and through you and bless others. So don't ignore this inheritance. This is the best, right? Amen. Turn over to Isaiah 51, and this one I'm going to read out of the New Living. Okay? Bountiful, abundant, too much God. Bountiful, abundant, too much God. Wow. All right. Isaiah 51. Do I have it marked in here? Yes, Steve. 51, 1 through 2. Listen. I love that. Listen to me, all who hope for deliverance, all who seek the Lord. Consider the rock which you were cut from, the quarry from which you were mined. Consider the rock which you were cut from, the quarry which you were mined. Yes, think about Abraham, your ancestor, and Sarah, who gave birth to your nation. Abraham was only one when I called him, but when I blessed him, he was just a smidgely old thing. No, when I blessed him, he became a great nation, right? All right, now listen. Got to give you a visual. This is the rock that you were cut from. This is the rock that you were cut from. This is Abraham. You are a seed of Abraham, the blessing of Abraham, right? And you are cut from this rock. You are cut from this rock. You are cut from this rock. And I get the big one, okay? Get the picture? Okay. You guys are of the seed of Abraham. You got your piece of paper? This is proof. You're cut from the rock, the same rock that Abraham, you're cut from the same rock of Abraham. So the blessings that God gave Abraham, the inheritance, this is proof. You've got it, all right? Every once in a while, the Bible just puts these pictures in there, and I'm going, oh, so cool, I get it, all right? Okay, so, hallelujah, you are cut from the same rock. And listen, when God saw Abraham and you became born again and you became in Christ, you were you became into the same rock of Abraham. God looked down and he saw this man, Abraham. And then he said, I'm going to bless you. And then he said, if you're Abraham's seed, I'm going to do the same thing. That's our God who's too much. That's our God who's a bountiful God. That's our God who's just amazing. Amen? Amen. Okay, now, question. You got to look at the steps. All right, now, how many of you are convinced that God is big, that God is bountiful, that he's abundant, that he's too much? Everybody? Yes, okay, I know that. All right, but you got to look at the steps. So turn over to Genesis 12. Genesis 12. The steps of Abraham. So we're supposed to follow steps. Well, I guess I need to know what the steps are, right? Steps of Abraham, 12. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Genesis 12, 1 to 3. Genesis 12, 1 to 3. The Lord said to Abram, leave, please underline that, your country, your people, your father's household, and go, underline the word go, to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you, and all the people of the earth will be blessed through you. All right. Say blessed. All right. So we got to follow the footsteps. We got to follow the directions, the steps of Abraham. So question is, what did God say to Abraham? What was the directions? Leave, or let me make it a simpler, go, all right? God gave directions to Abraham, and what did Abraham immediately do? He go, he leave, right? So the directions. Okay, so the guy whose rock you're cut from, what did he do? Go, all right? So the father of our faith, whose steps we're supposed to follow, what did he do? Go, all right? So what's that mean to you and me? Listen, I got so nailed on this one. How many times has God spoken to you? Not move your family tomorrow or something, but how many times has God spoken to you something and you go, well, you know, I might have to pray about that. Or, oh, I know, I'll write a list of all the pros. We'll write a list of all the cons. And then we'll go, That's not following the foots. Listen, when God speaks to you, get good at this. Go. All right? So what's that have to do? Go. All righty. Now, look what God said. When you go. All right. So God says go. And then he says, when you go. Some of you still here. So God said go. Some of you still here. But God said go. And when you go, guess what's going to happen? I will make you something. I will bless you. I will. And you know the best part? I will bless you and I will make you a blessing. I will make you blessed and then I'll make you a blessing. So, okay, I will make you blessed and then I'll make you a blessing. Watch this. Come on. I will make you blessed. I'm telling you, that's prosperity, this part. Prosperity is not with your stuff in your pockets. I will make you blessed, and I'll make you a blessing. That's bountiful living, guys. It's my whole message. I just want to get, okay, praise God. So, I just gave you the answer. What is the purpose of the bountiful life? Yes! You get 10 points in the lollipop and pretzels downstairs. The purpose is to have it. Have you blessed, overflowing, your needs met, and then stuff to pass on to people. All right? That's the purpose. That's the purpose. So is it a name it, grab it, blab it, prosperity, prosperity, I don't believe that stuff, Pastor D. Prosperity message. Well, yeah, okay, fine, give it to me. Anybody want some of theirs? They don't believe it? Okay. Okay, so the purpose of the blessing, the bountiful life, is that for you as a Christian, that your life then makes a difference. It makes a difference. Okay, it makes a difference. All right, now, you know, when God fills you up and overflows, it's going to make a difference, right? All right, Turn over to Genesis 13:2. I don't think I'm going to get through today. Gee whiz. We're on a series. Hallelujah. 13:2. You want to see a bountiful life? This one I love. Most of you know this anyway. Bountiful life. So, verse 2, 13:2. Abraham had become very wealthy. Abraham had become very wealthy in livestock and silver and gold. Huh. Notice he didn't just say wealthy. Some of us, well, I'll just take wealthy. God said very. This is the God that's too much. He said very wealthy. Say very wealthy. Oh, you know, this is one of those things. Before I got married, I'd sit there and write my name, Davida Cashman, because I was going to get married, and I'd write this all over the place. Yeah, anyone do that? Okay, this is what you should be writing. Very wealthy, very wealthy. Forget the Davida Cashman. Gee whiz. All right. Question. Who made Abraham very wealthy? Who made Abraham very wealthy? Do you finally believe it? Yes. Who made God? He's like, God. God. Right. All right. So, okay. I'm going to do 1 + 1 = 2. So if God made Abraham very wealthy, is it a sin to be wealthy? They got it, Lord. All right. And yet people say that. Listen, if it's a sin to be wealthy and God made him wealthy, then God must be a sinner. But God's not a sinner. God cannot lie. God, you know, that's stupid. So, but you're not allowed to tell people they're stupid, you know. Especially Joe and Eric's kids, because that's a bad word in their house. It's so funny when they said, okay, I'm going to drink here. Amen. Okay, who made Abraham rich, wealthy, very? God. All right, now let me say something. For the majority of this planet, of the people that are living on the planet, and I don't even know the number if you want to Google, but don't play with your cell phones right now. You're paying attention, okay? For the majority of people that live on this planet, if you drove here today in a car, guess what? You are considered wealthy. Yep. You're like the 4% of the population of the world they call wealthy because you came here today with a car. And I don't even want to talk about cell phones that scratch your back and what else these days, right? And little kids that have these iPhones. We are, America so blessed. Guys, okay, I always cry. We are so blessed. Okay, everybody say it now. We are so wealthy. Amen. It's all about perspective. Amen. Genesis 13, 5 and 6 now. Now Lot, who was moving about with Abram, this is before Abram became Abraham, you know. Okay, so now Lot, who was moving about with Abram, also had flocks. That's his nephew, Lot. Also had flocks and herds and tents. But the land couldn't support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were unable to stay together. Okay, who blessed them? Who's bountiful all over them? Are they bountiful? Man, they're bountiful. All right. So, does money matter? Does you being financially prosperous matter? Yes, it does. Because it's not where it stops, it's where it goes, right? Right, all right. And it's not about us four no more. It's not us four no more. It's not, Lord, my name is Jimmy, just gimme, I want to take it all and, you know, what's that saying? Oh, so gimme, my name is Jimmy, whatever. Okay. That's not prosperity, that. Prosperity, the bountiful life, is what comes to you, the blessings that come to you, that you become a blessing out, right? Amen. All right. Praise God. Another scripture. Oh, let's talk about Abraham, though, okay? One of the steps that Abraham took that we're supposed to follow, okay, was the go. That was a go. And actually, it means O-B-E-Y. One of Abraham's steps that we're supposed to follow is to obey. Obey God, right? All right? And one of those steps of obedience to become blessed is the tithe. Oh, crap, she said that word. God, she just, dang it. I know you weren't thinking that. I'm going to say it again. This is God's word, guys. I have lived this word in my life. Jim was given testimony, same thing. So everybody say, tithe, tithe, tithe. All right, good. You're happy, all right? Listen, tithe is simply 10%. 10% of everything you have and giving it to God, for him, to his kingdom. It's real simple. It's not complicated. It's not a five paragraph definition. Pretty simple, right? 10%. Turn over to Leviticus. And I'm reading out of New Living Translation. I love these cell phones with apps now on Bible, because I don't have to run up and down the stairs, run up and down the stairs and stuff. So, Pastor D, why do you pick up another translation? Why don't you just stick with one? Because sometimes I leave them upstairs and I feel like running downstairs and, you know, that stuff. That's one of the reasons. But also, the way it's said in another Bible just becomes clear. All right? So get some fun. And are some of these, you know, some of these, oh, they take the blood out of this one. All right, whatever. Just get some fun Bibles that just make it bigger. The picture of God bigger. The picture of God bigger. Can you imagine if God only had one color? Oh, let's see. Well, it'll be red because it's my favorite color. Red is the only color that God has. No, God's big, and he's big, and he's got all sorts of colors. That's what the Word of God. These Bibles make God big in your life, all right? And you can have blue, because I like red. Amen. Where am I, guys? Leviticus. Everybody, you right? Say Leviticus 27, verse 30. Now, I will say, this is when tithing went under the law. Okay, so I got to give you a physical. This is when tithing went under the law. Okay? Well, I'm going to tell you about where it started. But for right now, this scripture is when tithing went under the law. Okay? Because someone's going to throw that in my face later. Okay. Hallelujah. Praise God. Aren't you glad? Amen. Okay, where am I? 30. Good. Oh, my. 30. One-tenth of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruit from the trees, belongs, everybody say it with me, to the Lord, and must be set apart as holy. Okay? This is what I do with kids. Just in case it's like, what? Grain? Real simple. Every dime from your dollar belongs to the Lord. Every dime of your dollar that you earn belongs to the Lord. Everybody say every dime. Dime doesn't hurt so much, does it? Every dime of your dollar belongs to the house of God, belongs to the Lord, belongs to the kingdom, okay? That's what the tithe says, right? Okay, every dime. But, you know, listen, God, again, I said this last week, and all the ducks that came out last week heard part one. This is part two. The rest of you guys just, it's raining, the floods. Okay, but anyway, tithing is not about money. Tithing's about your heart. And Jesus said, where your treasures are, it's where your heart is, right? Who said that? Yeah, Jesus said. All right, so tithing's not about money. Tithing's about your heart, okay? And I hear people say this, but Pastor D, I cannot afford to tithe. Listen, I am not telling you to stop paying your bills. It's not what I'm saying. Yeah, thank you. I'm not telling you to stop paying your bills to pay your tithe, but what I am telling you, to be a man or woman of God who walks and follows the footsteps of Abraham, follows his faith, you cannot disregard the finances. You just can't go, you can't do that. All right? That's what the scriptures are showing, okay? All right, so God says, every dime of every dollar that you make, I want in my house, okay? And to us, that's our local church that God has you planted in, all righty? And now, it's really interesting. Some people are like, oh, it's such a burden. Oh, my gosh. When we talk about tithing, all right? But listen, tithing, again, has nothing to do with your money. It has to do with your heart, and it has to do with the steps that you're supposed to follow. So everybody say, heart. Heart. Okay, Now, I said that scripture, tithing, that scripture said tithing, that scripture said tithing at that point came underneath the law. But Abraham, our father Abraham, who we're supposed to follow, he started tithing 700 years before the law. So, just put that one to rest. So who do we follow? Our father Abraham, his faith, and he was tithing, giving a tithe 700 years, all right? So, again, how does this relate to me? Well, this bountiful life and obedience, there's a connection. You want this, you have this, you have it. You have a bountiful life, but then there's this obedience and the connection. The connection is obedience. Okay, you gotta connect it, all righty? So if we're walking in this bountiful life, that means that God has for us everything that's going to come into your life, you're going to let it flow, all right? Don't let it stop. Genesis 14, I've got another scripture here. Genesis 14, verse 17. Let me give you the background on this. Genesis 14, the beginning of the chapter, we got these kings. We got four kings and we got five kings, and they're going to war. All right? And the four kings, isn't that interesting? Four goes after the five. Four goes after the five. Don't ever be afraid by numbers, guys. Four kings go after the five kings. And in the midst of doing this, they capture Abraham's nephew, Lot. These four kings, they go to war, and after the war and they beat these guys, they get captured Abraham's nephew Lot, his family, and all his stuff. Well, Abraham hears about it and he's like, that's it. And he goes after them with his own private army. No question. I wonder how much it costs to have a private army. Too much God. Not a problem for Abraham. He's got his own private army. Come on, guys, let's go get Abraham. So they come. All right, so they go and rescue Lot. This is the background. They go rescue Lot and his family and all these other people and all their stuff. And now, verse 17. Genesis 14, 17. Can you tell I used to tell stories downstairs? Mm-hmm. After Abraham returned from defeating Chedorlaomer. Is that pretty close? Cheddar cheese, Lomar. Is that good? Chedorlaomer. Okay. Cheddar cheese, Lomar. The king. Okay, I'm serious. After Abraham returned from defeating Cheddar cheese, Lomar, and the kings allied with him, the king, now king one, king of Sodom, came out to meet him in the valley of Sheveth. That is the king's valley. So first king is king of Sodom. Second king, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine, and he blessed. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine, and he was priest of the Most High God, and he blessed Abraham, saying, "Blessed be Abraham! My God, I'm sorry, tongue-tied here. Blessed be Abraham, my God, Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God, Most High, who delivered your enemies from your hand, and Abraham gave him," what? A tenth of everything. Circle everything. All right? Gave him, now, what's going on here is Abraham's coming back. He's got Lot and all these people and all the possessions, the loot, the spoils, whatever you want to call the stuff, okay? They're coming back from war, and he's greeted by these two kings. So the first king, he just walks past him. He's like, that's Sodom, all right? But Melchizedek, the king of Salem, comes up to Abraham, and he gives him bread and wine, and then he blesses him. The king of Salem comes up to Abraham, gives him bread and wine, and then he prays a blessing over him. And then Abraham gives him a tenth of the stuff. A tenth of all the stuff, right? You got that? Okay, verse 21, I lost my place. The king of Sodom said, this is what happens next. The king of Sodom said to Abraham, give me the people and you keep the goods for yourself. I was like, wait, it wasn't even yours. I can't believe he's asking that. Some people are just bold, all right? So the king of Salem said to Abraham, give me the people and you get to keep the goods for yourself. But Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High, creator of the heaven of earth, and I have taken an oath. I will accept nothing what belongs to you, not even a thread or the thong of your sandal, so that you will never be able to say, I made Abraham rich. Because who made Abraham rich? Who made Abraham rich? All right. And I will accept nothing but what, okay, blah, blah, blah. All righty, now. So basically, Abraham saying to the king is, you can keep everything except for what I'm restoring Lot, right? To Lot, his family and his possessions. But you know what he also really said, but what he said first? He says, before king, I'm going to give you all that stuff so you won't be able to brag that you made me rich. And before I actually return to Lot all of his stuff, I'm going to give a tenth first to the Lord. He gave a tenth of all that stuff. Not the leftover, a tenth of all that stuff to the Lord first, right? Yeah. Wow. Okay, good. All right, who made Abraham rich? Are you blessed with Abraham? Good, okay, guess what that makes you? Rich. Okay, wrapping up. Turn over to Hebrews 7. Gosh, it's getting hot in here. It's time to quit. When I get hot, that's it. We're done. Hebrews. Where's it? Okay. Okay, Hebrews 7, 1 through 8. All right, first, the most important thing you have to see today is, who is this Melchizedek that Abraham gave tithes? Until you understand who he is and how important it is, you are not going to give tithes. You have to understand how important it is to know who he is. You have to know who he is, so you can follow his footsteps, all right? So, Hebrews 7, 1 through 8. I'm in 7. No, I'm not. Here we go. This Melchizedek was king of Salem, a priest of the Most High God. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. Okay, hold on a minute. Sorry. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. First, his name means King of Righteousness. Then also, King of Salem means King of Peace. Without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, like the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. Just think how great he was. Even the patriarch Abraham gave him a tenth of everything, the plunder. Now, the law requires that the descendants of Levi, the Levitical tribes, who became priests, collect a tenth from the people, that is, their brothers, even though brothers are descendants from Abraham. This man, however, did not trace his descendants from Levi. He collected a tithe from Abraham, and he blessed him who had the promises. And without a doubt, this is the part, the lesser, look at that word, without a doubt, the lesser person is blessed by the greater. The lesser person is blessed by the greater. In this case, the tenth is collected by men who die, but in the other case, by he who is declared to be living, the one who even says that Levi, who collected a tenth, paid the tithes through Abraham because then Melchizedek met Abraham. Okay, I'm sorry, blah, blah, blah. All right, so much here. Okay, how do I finish this? All right. In the Old Testament, they were commanded to give the tithe, all right? And yes, we don't live under the old covenant, right? Okay, we live under the new covenant of grace. Okay, so you are not commanded to give the tithe. Everybody say, I'm not commanded. I don't live like that. But guess what? You get to give. Because of your heart, you get to give. There's no command. It's your heart. I get to give my tithe, right? Okay, that's what number one. All righty, now. And we're supposed to follow Abraham's footsteps, all right? So Abraham gave a tenth, all right? And again, we don't give because it's legalistic. We're not under the law. We give because we get to give. We give because we get to give, right? Praise God. All right. And listen, I think it was someone said, you're crazy if you don't. It's just my own opinion. Just, sorry. I really believe that. All right. Moving on. So Abraham gave. He gave because he had a relationship. And everything that Abraham gave was a tenth he gave to God. Okay, let me jump. I get panicky. I am so sorry. I walk in peace. I'm not even going to look at that clock, all right? Because some of you have sacred cows that have, the blessings are over here, and you got this cow that has been in your life, and you can't figure out the blessing. So we're going to kill the cow, and you just stay put, all right? So we can have a barbecue. Anyway. When you give, we give because we get to give, and we also receive the blessing, but the blessing is so that we can also be a blessing, all right? And what did Melchizedek do when he received the blessing? So Abraham gave him the tithe. What did Melchizedek do to Abraham? Okay, you are the seed of Abraham. You are the blessed. You are part of the bountiful. So Abraham gave his tithe to this priest, this earthly priest. And then what did Melchizedek do? He turned around and blessed him. So this morning when you wrote your tithe check and you gave it, or you went online and you gave it and you prayed over it and you released your faith, you know what your most high priest does? That sits on the throne, he turns around and he prays blessing on your life. That's what happens when you give because your heart wants to give, because your heart is in obedience, right? The head of the church receives your tithe that you give because he's first and foremost in your heart. He receives it and he turns around and he prays blessings in your life. Should be the most exciting thing you do. Right? And then because he's prayed blessings on your life, you have blessings to give. You become a blessing. You become a blessing. You got the blessing. He prays blessing on, and then you have blessings to give. All right? And I'm not just talking about money. Shoot, someone come rake leaves. That's fun. There's things. There's blessings. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. All right. I was going to do one more, but I'm just going to tell you. Malachi 3:6-12. I was going to read that whole thing. You guys read that. Most of you can recite it and say, I don't have to do that because that's Old Testament. The principle is the same, guys. The principle's the same. If you're following Abraham, the father of our faith. Oh, Father Abraham, father of our faith. Can you do that? Okay, the principle's the same. All right? Now listen. Wrap up. Every Christian is called, Jesus said, to have an abundant, bountiful life. Yes? All right. Every Christian. And listen, some of you guys have been doing this for years. Okay? Some of you guys have been doing this year. But I hope I challenge you that it's not only that you give because you honor him and you know to be a giver and he's first in this, but I hope I challenge you that you see that you are more, that you want more. You're allowed to want more so you can have more to be a blessing. All right? If you don't, I am. And where's that scripture? No. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children. I am going to die a good woman and leave an inheritance for my kids. And in order to do that, I'm going to walk and receive. I'm going to give. I'm going to receive. And I'm going to give. And I'm going to receive. Because I'm going to be a good woman when I hit heaven. You should want to do that. You should want to do that. Man, just don't go out. Anyway. Okay. So, anybody kill some cows today? Yep. All right. Let's pray. Shoo.